now, from Norwich, we invite you to go to the lavatory. And among the celebrities tonight on Go to the Lavatory are Pope Isabel Barnett, transvestite and bracket, the right half of Diana Dawes, the wrong half of Diana Dawes, and finally, the man who likes watching Melvin Bragg. Nice to have you on the show, Melvin. And now, here is your host for the evening, the reigning Nicholas Parsons, a lump of wet putty from Stoke-on-Trent.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And straight away, can we have our first person tonight, please, who wants to go to the lavatory? Good evening. Now, your name is Ron Doris of Biggin Hill. You're out of work because you can't keep your job down. You're on a strict diet because you can't keep your food down. And I understand you have 16 children.
That's correct, yes.
Right. Well, let's get straight on with the show, Ron. You know the rules, don't you?
Yes.
Very well. Ron Doris of Biggin Hill, will you now please go to the lavatory?
Be the Sid Lawrence Orchestra and Emu, Joseph Cooper playing the dummy Robin Rowe, and one of the 10 obscure journalists who write the preview page in Radio Times while the other 9 take it in turns to read it. So why not join us again then when, who knows, it might be your turn to go to the lavatory.
Mr. Dennis Healy, an apology.
In a recent sketch on the Berkey's Way, we inadvertently stated that Mr. Dennis Healy was, in fact, an overweight yak whose brain was punctured when he backed into a cactus plant. We have been asked to point out that this is not the case, and we sincerely apologize for this unfortunate comparison and for any embarrassment it may have caused the yak community of Tibet. Now, PM reports.
Hello, and welcome to PM Reports. Well, with me in the studio today, I have, on my right, Austin Thrimson, who works on the Daily Express, and in his spare time cries a lot. And Arthur Heckenbottom, known to millions as Gene Rook. And Harold Flark, Southeast Australasian quantum mechanic affairs correspondent on the Sunday Times Mephisto crossword. On my left are Eric Heffer, leader of the militantly left-wing tweed jacket group. Next to him, the leader of the Monday Club and his nurse. And finally, the leader of the opposition, the Right Honourable Prime Minister. Now, gentlemen, the question I want to put to you all tonight seems currently to strike at the fundamental core of social order and democracy in this country. And broadly speaking, it's this. Was it Bill or was it fell into the ponds just then? Which of those two flower pot men? Was it Bill or was it Ben? Arthur Heckenbottom, would you like to come in on that one?
Look, I'm sorry. I think there's something wrong here.
Nonsense. What do you say, Mr. Heffer?
It's just... there's a comedy leak in this studio.
A comedy leak?
Yes, can't you smell it?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. We can't have a leak in this studio.
Well, why not?
Well, think of the carpet.
Well, you're right. There it was again. But I just heard a deadly gag escaping into the room. Well, what should we do?
We must call for help. What we need is a skilled expert, someone who can render jokes totally inert.
We'd never get Bernard Manning at this time of night.
Oh, did you hear that? It's getting worse.
I'll ring up the BBC maintenance department. Is that the BBC maintenance department?
That's us, pal.
I want you to come round here immediately.
Oh, can't do that, pal. We've got a rush job on, pal. One of the England cricket team's bats. Come to think of it, the rest of them aren't too bright either.
Now, look, you've got to come straight away.
Oh, sorry, pal. I'm out of the country at the moment.
There's a cup of tea in it for you.
What's your trouble then, pal?
We think there's some sort of comedy leak in here. Listen.
Do you have trouble with leaking jokes? Do you long for a gag which doesn't slip out in conversation? Well, if you find one, address it now to Frank Carson's mouth, care of Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Reese, and Fred Harris at the Burgess Way, Stepney. Then by return of post, you'll have your post returned. Plus, free details of Lesson 21 in our amazing series of correspondence courses, Get Cut Off the Bird.
Well, what's happened?
Oh, you've got a faulty Burgess Way, pal. You had a humorous wireless program leaking out and flooding the place with whimsical quips and spoofs of a satirical nature. I've just cut you off.
Well, what do we put out on the air while we're waiting for you to fix this leak?
Well, let's see what I've got. Oh, yes. How about this?
Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a land so distant that you couldn't see it until it was in view, lived a wicked caliph. Each morning at sunrise, he chose a beautiful maiden, had her bathed in pure llama's milk, cleansed in freshly gathered dew from the mountain pastures, and sweetened with herbs and spices from the Orient, and took her for his wife. Unfortunately, his wife always sent her back because he preferred cornflakes. Whereupon the caliph would kneel before his youthful bride and declare his eternal and everlasting love for her until they should be parted by cruelest death. Then, in the evening, he had her killed. This went on until one day when the caliph already had 52,987 mothers-in-law who all came for surprise visits every Sunday afternoon, he married the beautiful and wise Scheherazade. By the device of telling her husband 1,001 different stories, one each night, she was able to stay his hand. And yet, she still had to beware, for if she should forget and tell a story the caliph had heard before, he would be in deadly danger. However, one day he went into a chemist's shop and asked for some talcum powder. Certainly, said the assistant, will you walk this way? If I could walk...
Birdie! All right, Scheherazade, my dear. I'm afraid I'm going to have you painfully put to death tonight a bit.
But exalted husband, I've another story to tell you.
Oh, not another one.
Oh, yes, there's your one.
Good grief, this must be the... 986th story you've told me since we were married. Can't you tell it after I've had you painfully put to death?
Oh, no, not really a wise and strong benefactor.
Damn. Oh, all right then. Have go! It's off again. I can't help it. You've got another bloody story. Well, you shouldn't have put the oil on the boil, should you? You know it's always run down in it.
How should I know what to do with 40,000 ravenously hungry man-eating black panthers? Stick them in the fridge. Of course they'll keep. I got them from a shop we're not allowed to advertise, but our 16 letters begins with M and rhymes with sprouts and mentors. Anyway, we can always smear her with honey and open a tin of soldier ants if we have to. Now then, what? Oh, I'm sorry. Now then, what's this story? Hurry up, I've got to put my slippers in curlers at 10 o'clock.
Very good. Oh, redoubtable paragon of personified joy. Once upon a time, there was a poor thief at Baghdad. He was, however, glad at heart one day when he found on a beach a strange bottle clouded with misty contents. He wondered.
Heard it.
What do you mean?
Heard it before. Story number 153. The thief of Baghdad. He found a bottle with a genie in it.
Oh, well, this one's not about a thief, but the fisherman. A poor fisherman who found a bottle with strange mist.
Heard it.
When?
Number 547. The fisherman of Baghdad. He found one as well. And story 234, the lost Eskimo of Baghdad. And number 455, the ticket inspector of Baghdad. And number 964, the interior design consultant of Baghdad.
Well, he didn't find a bottle with a genie in it.
No, he found a lamp with a genie in it. Then there was number 5, the chiropodist of Baghdad, who found a toenail with a genie in it. Number 768, the professional footballer of Baghdad, who found a tube of algepan with a genie in it. Number 23, the Tony Blackburn of Baghdad, who found...
All right, then. All right. He didn't find the bottle at all. He found something quite different.
What?
What would you like?
A puce and orange elephant's foot umbrella stand.
What?
A puce and orange elephant's foot umbrella stand.
All right, then. I'll start again.
Right.
Once upon a time, there was a poor fisherman of Baghdad. He was, however, glad of heart when one day, on the beach, he found... a puce and orange elephant's foot umbrella stand.
Good, good.
And imagine his surprise when, upon holding up this...
Puce and orange elephant's
foot umbrella stand to the sun's ray, he saw a genie.
Heard it.
A young girl whose name was Genie. Yes, he saw a beautiful young virgin as naked as the day she was born.
Heard it. Abdul, get your soldier hands ready.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I say virgin? I meant verger. Yes, he saw a beautiful young verger as naked as the day he was born.
No, no, the choir boy of Baghdad saw one of those in number 345.
Look, don't you remember anything you haven't heard a story about yet?
Yes, a bookshop.
A bookshop. You sure?
Yes.
Right. Once upon a time, there was a bookshop. It was, however, glad of heart when one day...
Good morning.
Good morning.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'd like a copy of Gay Boys Monthly, please.
We are unable to proceed any further with the sketch, as it has been stopped by the BBC Programme Content Advisory and Not Censorship Honestly Committee. There now follows a completely new and revised version written by the head of Crossing Things Out and Writing in Nice Bits.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'd like a copy of Knitting Monthly, please.
We interrupt this sketch on the advice of the BBC Extremely Alarmist panel to bring you a new and even revised version written by a dear little old lady in Catford.
Good morning. I'd like a copy of Gay Boys Monthly, please.
I told you he wasn't a little old lady.
We interrupt these interruptions to apologize for the slightly non-Arabian feel of this last Arabian night story. We return you now to a proper one.
And lo, it was in the month of the exhausted rabbit. As the blood-red sun descended to its nightly grave among the mountains of B.A.T., that Sinbad returned from his travels, returned to where his beautiful young wife, Reg, daughter of King Amos the Myopic, stood waiting for him.
Reg, dearest Reg, I am home, home from my weary travels.
Sinbad, I don't believe it. You've changed.
Nonsense, dear. I am the same Sinbad that left you all those years ago to pursue his quest around the world. And what perilous exploits I have been through. First of all, I was mauled to death by the saber-toothed, six-headed tiger of Lemnos. Then I was eaten alive by the 8-2-page newsreader of Xanadu. Then I was poked in the eye with a pencil of it by the giant dwarf of near Farnsborough. And finally, I was told I was no good in bed by the ten-fanged dragon of Crete.
Oh, how horrible.
And then I was snatched up by a giant rock, which is an 80-foot-tall bird and gives the impression of living on a snow-capped mountain. But it isn't snow, really. And then I was thrown into a dungeon by the five-buttock Liberal MP for North Pole Southeast. And the only way I could get out was by changing my name to Cockroach and crawling through a crack in the wall.
Oh, how dreadful.
And then I was mauled to death by the saber-toothed, six-headed tiger of Lemnos, a different one. And then, then I was beaten up by the two-brained police force of Mycenae.
Oh, how awful.
And then I was caught by the evil witch Circe,
who put a spell on me
and gave me three heads.
Oh, how terrible, how ghastly, how diabolical.
Look, will you stop reading that book of Pamera's poems and listen to me?
And then I had to tackle the evil wizard of Minos.
There's no such thing as the evil wizard of Minos. He doesn't exist.
Ah, that was my trump card. You see, when I
look, I don't believe a word of all this. I bet you've been out in the fields again, treading on frogs.
I bet I haven't been out in the fields treading on frogs.
I bet you 5,000 pieces of gold you've been out in the fields treading on frogs.
You're on.
Right. What have you been doing today, Sinbad?
I've been out in the fields treading on
frogs. There you are.
All down.
Paddy.
Good Lord. Who said that?
You know damn well who said it.
Sinbad, I think we have an intruder in the palace, said his wife. Take out your scimitar and kill him.
That's
before...
enough of that. Come on, I've heard it all before. Story number 665. It was word for word the same story, except the Liberal candidate in that one had six buttocks. Damn sight more interesting as a result.
Well, you try inventing 1,001 different stories. It's not easy, you know. Suppose you think it's a piece of cake.
Of course I don't.
Well, stop nibbling it, then.
Andy, Scheherazade is talking about a slice of bread pudding.
I know. Tell me the one about Ali Baba and the 40 thieves.
I don't think I know that one.
Yes, you do. It's the one that goes...
Once upon a time, there was a young man named Ali Baba who got a job as a very bad pun in a backstreet hairdresser's. One day, while out riding, he came across a strange cavern which was blocked by an enormous rock.
That was lucky. The rocks just galloped away. There appears to be some strange cavern behind it. I shall take a look inside. Oh, this is indeed an eerie place. Ugh! Oh, what's all this horrible stuff on the walls?
Eric Powder, Christ.
Good heavens! A man chained to the rock. Tell me, Mr. Croydon, what are you doing in this evil place?
I was pinched by the 40 thieves.
In the back of the Casbah?
No, just the arms and legs, mate.
But what brought you here in the first place?
I'm on holiday.
On holiday?
Yeah.
But this country is a long way from Croydon.
Yeah, I suppose that's why it's so popular, mate.
And how long are you here?
About 2.5 inches.
And here?
1.6.
I see. Listen, shamblingly palsied old wreck of a man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
This is a fearful land to visit.
You must be careful in case you come into contact with any diseases.
It's all
King, so out.
Then, of course, I had to be inoculated myself.
Yes, yes. And what did they inoculate you against?
Against the wall. I got that one off of paper hat.
Yes, yes, I'm sure you did. Well, what's this strange inscription out over here?
I never go on the beach, you know.
Really?
No, I usually wait till I get home.
Well, thank you, Mr. Croydon. I used to go
freshwater fishing.
Yes.
Only it kept dripping through the net, see?
Yes. Right. Now then, what is this strange inscription carved into the rock just here? I think I can just about make it out. There was a young girl from the Ritz who had the most...
Well, that's where we have to leave the Arabian Nights, I'm afraid, because we've just heard that the Berkisway's leak has now been mended, so it's time now to reconnect the program.
Yes, here it is, the best thing you'll ever see in a pair of jeans. A girl's backside. For sheer comfort, sheer elegance, sheer bodies bending over everywhere, these are for you. Fashioned in cool, pre-shrunk bottomette denim, our new buttocks-ass range of flared jeans with tight posterior regions are hard-wearing and come complete with shoehorn for easy fitting. Our prompt service is guaranteed. Every order is delivered dead on time.
Yes, in fact, everybody's dead on time at Stiffco. Be first down the hole with Stiffco. Stiffco, they're the ones.
Winds up another lesson in our amazing correspondence course in dynamic living. If you're interested and would like to hear more, then send off now for your deaf aid to Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Reese, and Fred Harris. Get up the Beggar's Way, Stanley. Or if you'd like to be big, strong, and handsome, writers Andrew Marshall and David Benwick will show you how to become a dead ringer for Steve McQueen. Simply kill yourself, then press his doorbell. Remember, all material is confidential, so promise to keep it secret. Cross your heart and make it verbal to producer John Lloyd of Europe. See you next week, folks, and happy dynamic living.
Next week's Burgess Way, there's a wacky time in store when Dr. Arnold Higgins examines a patient who apparently doesn't understand what he's talking about.
Now then, Mr. Weed, how are the old waterworks?
They're all right.
Oh, good.
They were going to pull them down, of course, but what with the cuts in bucket spending and all, they decided...
No, Mr. Weed. What I meant was, how are your little naughties?
Hey, what, my little naughties?
Yes.
How do you mean, little naughties?
Well, you know, naughties.
No?
Yes, you do. Everybody does. Naughties. You know, sometimes you have big naughties. And sometimes little naughties.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you know when you go to the cinema?
Yeah.
Well, what happens during the intermission?
Oh, Pearl and Dean.
No.
Oh, I know. I'll go out into the foyer.
Exactly, you'll go out to the foyer. And when you go out to the foyer, do you have any trouble doing what you do when you go out to the foyer?
No, not at all.
Oh, good.
No, I always buy the squishy lime tubettes with no trouble.
You stupid little man, I'm your doctor. What do you think I want to know about your squishy lime tubettes for?
Oh, isn't that why you're dressed in that usherette uniform?
Of course it isn't. What I'm talking about, bluntly, is your little tinkles.
Oh, sorry, I don't understand that.
Your tickles?
No.
Airing the stoat?
No.
Unzipping the xylophone?
No.
Shooting the swan at stop it up?
No.
And then, whoa.
folks, there's some real goings on in next week's intermission, as voiceover Eric Smart finds out.
There would now be a short intermission.
And now, the epic motion picture that will tear into your soul. The heart-rending film classic which heralded a new era in the history of the cinema. We present Phil Spector's production of The Gospel According to the Ronettes.
Behold, Adam and Eve, you have sorely displeased me.
What is it, O Lord?
Hear me thus. You must this day leave the Garden of Eden. To do run.
But why, O Lord?
Hear me. You have both eaten of the fruit of the forbidden tree, which I commanded no man to touch. To do run. To do run.
Yes, the heart of sin.
And what a cover for poor old Scheherazade, who still can't find a new story to tell her husband, the Caliph.
And so the punk rocker of Baghdad lives.
Paddy!
You did that on purpose. You just waited until I'd nearly finished.
Abdul, get the guillotine ready. You needn't bother about the shaving ladder this time.
Look, wait. Have you heard the one about the continuity announcer of Baghdad?
As I had. No, I can't say as I have.
Well. Well, it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a poor young continuity announcer. He was, however, glad of heart when one day he found that this program had suddenly ended. What could he say but... He found that this program had suddenly ended. What could he say but...